Hello, everybody. I really need a mic so I can use both my hands. I will tell you, I can't talk without my hands. You tie my hands around the back, I shut up. And so if I do kind of wander, you'll know why. Thank you very much. I just, you know, listening to what George had to say this morning, what a leader. Chaps, I'm so glad you're at the back there because you're going to love this one. Okay. If you don't like rugby, you're more than welcome to leave. Okay, if you don't know what how the rugby works, that's my whole analogy tonight. Okay, and you know, when you talk about the bomb squad that a leader did a week or so ago, you'll understand, you know. But I really do trust that tonight, once we've finished, I'm going to frame it in a sense, imagining the background, the context of what I'm going to be talking, the analogy that I'm going to align with Scripture tonight. So the way I talk, the way I encourage you, the way I get in is the environment that Rossi Erasmus might have been doing. But we won't get there yet. Wondering if we could just maybe open in a word of prayer from a preaching point of view. Lord, we just want to give you all the glory tonight. You know, we realize we would just be the warmer places to be tonight. You know, coming here for another reason, just maybe to get together as a club would not make sense. We come here to honor the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God Almighty. What an amazing opportunity. Lord, and it's your word. We sit and stand around your word. That's life and breath and fire. We honor a king tonight that has got, you know, eyes that blaze, voice that sounds like rushing water, the Revelation 1. King of Kings, we glorify your name. And just tonight, just for each of us, the little thing that we might just, that seed that might receive the water in there and the heat to kind of germinate and grow within us. We pray your blessing upon us now. Amen. All right, so there's a series that came about a couple of months ago and it's been running. It's called Chasing the Sun. You may or may not have heard about it. Fundamentally, it's the story about the Springboks and their preparation, their planning for the Rugby World Cup of 2023. And it takes you through the individual preparations for each of the games. It interviews everybody that is in the squad. Now, there's 15 guys on a team. But in actual fact, it's a full squad of 30-odd people with all of the training staff, and they interview all of these different people. It's quite an incredible series, actually. Well, because we know the end. We know we won the World Cup. We know that the Springboks are the world champions. They didn't know that. They didn't know that the final was won. And it's interesting that the All Blacks have now put out a series. In their own words, because of that final game that they lost. Okay, so, but in the Chasing the Sun, S-U-N, the aim was for the Springboks, I make it quite clear, was to separate themselves from the other teams, from all of the distractions. They actually went to South Italy, to Sardinia and other places, and Sicily, to get used to the heat, separating themselves apart. They chose not to conform to the patterns of the play or what the media was telling them to do. You know, the box will never be anything great because they play it in the front. They hit them with the big men up front. You know, rugby across the world is now just free-flowing. And they chose not to change those pattern of play, not to conform to what everybody was saying. Makes it quite clear they knew what they had to do. They knew what the focus was of the World Cup and that they were doing it not only for themselves but for the country of South Africa. They make it quite clear how uplifting that was going to be. Each of those members that they interview, from Faf to Eben and anybody in between, they knew their part in the team. It was crystal clear that the idea was not to bring a bunch of all-rounders into the game, into the team. Okay, rather to play to their strengths. You didn't have a guy coming in going, it's like a prop. Am I a lock? They knew exactly what they were going to do. The interesting thing about the whole preparation was that some of them were even going to have to sacrifice themselves for the team. Now, that was quite difficult because some of them were told, you are not going to play this game. You're not going to play the final. If we get to the final, you will not play it. You will be not even on the bench. You knew that up front. Then others, you're going to play the first half, but you're going to bench the second. And some year, like the bomb squad, you're coming on in the second half. But maybe when I'm in the final, I want to play the whole game. And they looked for the best combinations on the field. Now, that was quite incredible to see the background. So now, just like that. So here we are. We're in the locker room. We're having the pep talk. We are chasing the sun. S-O-N. Tonight, we're going to chase Jesus. That's the best son that we've got. So we're also called, we're chosen, and we're told to separate ourselves from the way of the world. That's why you're here. We're told not to conform to the patterns of play that the world tells us, that the media tells us, particularly our young folk. You've got to be like this, you've got to do that. We do not conform to the patterns of the world, and we fill in our part into the team. Now, none of you were up on the... Stefan, you weren't singing tonight. You and me and Derek, it would have been a total train smash. We've each got our other parts that we got to pay. So how do we go about doing this? How do we go about chasing the sun? So the topic for this evening is living like Jesus, living for Jesus. We got to know how Jesus lived. And we've got to live for him. Tonight, it's all about chasing the one and only Son of God. So, we need to chase his example. We've got to follow his example. We've got to listen to his words in Scripture. And then we've got to play as one team. Now, you might look around there and you go, well, if that's a team that I'm going into the World Cup, if this is what I was sitting in the locker room before the final, maybe I would have put my hand up and said, okay, I'm just disappearing out here. But in the spiritual world, you've got to look around the team and go, wow, we got enough to win the World Cup in the spiritual realm. So, what do we do? Well, the beauty is, it's all in our playbook. Here it is. We've got the best playbook. And it's set out so clearly for us. So tonight we're going to look at the best, well, not the best, one of the best little playbooks summarizing how we live like Jesus and live for him. And if you've got your Bible, I think it's going to be up there. It's Romans chapter 12. So in Romans chapter 12, there's pretty much three steps through this chapter that the playbook sets out. It's a manual. Now just imagine the box was sitting there and going, attack, defense, and in between. And so the playbook for Romans 12 says, live, love, leave. Okay. How do we live? How and what do we love, and what do we leave? Okay, so that's quite easy. Even for the rugby players, they could remember living like Jesus, living for Jesus, live, love, leave. So, I'm going to read the chapter. I'll read a little bit faster. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, because this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you'll be able to approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Wow. For by the grace given to me, this is Paul speaking, I say to each one of you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Faf, don't have a big head. Eben moenie so dink nie. Okay? And the wings, you're not the only ones that are going to score. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, one team, and each member belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. We didn't get those gifts out of ourselves. They were given to us. If a man's gift or a woman's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him, well, maybe it's to the captain or whoever. Let him govern diligently. If he's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love. You need a love. But it must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Imagine we sitting here in the locker room. Be devoted on that field. Honor one another above yourself. Above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Or be joyful in hope. Patient when you're afflicted, faithful in prayer. And share with God's people, those who are in need, and be hospitable. Bless those who persecute you. Did it actually say that? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Even the Aussies and the New Zealanders, Kiwis. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with everyone. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. And do not be conceited. Do not repay evil with evil. Leave it behind. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. But on the contrary, opposite public opinion, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil. But overcome evil with good. What you're doing. That's a great manual. That's a good playbook to get started with here. So brothers and sisters, I urge you. I encourage you. Exmyekyo. Imagine that story. Offer your bodies, your lives as living sacrifices. You know, a sacrifice relinquishes their rights, their will, and most of the time in dying. You know, we're called upon to relinquish our wills and our desires while we're still alive. That's tough. Will you sacrifice yourself? Well, why do we do this? Why should we do it? Because of Jesus. That's the bottom line. Because he did it. And if we're going to follow his example, he was the ultimate sacrifice. He did his Father's will. Matthew chapter 26 verse 39 says, going a little further, he fell down with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. This is before Jesus is going to die. He had a choice. May this cup, which is mine, be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Sure. Jesus' example was to do the will of the Father. We need to do the same. He spoke only what his Father said. In John chapter 8, verse 38 or 28 says, so Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, the Son of God, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. I speak just what the Father is doing. And that's important for us. If we're going to live like Jesus, we only speak the instruction we get from Scripture. This is how we live. So if we're going to chase the Son, and that I trust by the end of tonight, will be quite clear. We are going to chase the Son, Jesus Christ's example. We need to follow his example and we need to follow his direction. He also said in John chapter 15, verse 19, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. That pattern there. Eh? As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Well, the question is, does the world hate me? Because if it doesn't, then I've got a little problem. If everybody loves me of the world and the way I do things and how I speak and the example that I follow, then I am not doing the will of my Father and I'm not chasing the example of the Son. And just like the box did, Jesus, our example, says here, separate yourself. Live differently to the world that you're in. Now, what does it really look like for you? Eh? You've got to think. We here, you see, the box couldn't pass the ball forward. You know, they couldn't scrum a different way. The rules still applied. It was how you had to do it. We're in the world. We can't change certain things. But we can separate ourselves. We can follow the patterns that we know is in our playbook. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, as we read, says, it is an act of worship. Well, who do we worship? The ways of the world, mammon, money? How do we apply that? You've got to take that and look, just like each of those springboks would have to look and say, how am I going to adapt when I've got the ball in hand, or I'm running in support, or I'm doing, how am I going to apply that into my space? And not conform, and be the sacrifice as an act of worship, maybe, in our case. We don't conform. Rather, we transform ourselves by the renewing of our minds. Every morning, during the day, we've got to take that opportunity to say, Lord, what is your plan? What do you want me to do? How do I transform? How do I renew? Every day, your mercies are new. The opportunity is new. Seek God's will. So let's live like Jesus did. You see, life, the world, it teaches us that there's a hierarchy. We need to climb the ladder of success. Okay? Use your talents and your gifts to get to the top. Okay? We must compete often with each other, sometimes even with your own spiritual brothers and sisters. We find ourselves competing. But Jesus set a completely different way. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, incredible scripture. Paul says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, he was God. So here's a great example. Did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. What a great example. I'm not the one that's important. Now, that's not what Jesus did, but that's what I must be saying. This is not a hierarchy. It's not me going up. So how do we live? Well, verse 3 of Romans 12, which you just read there, says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. That's quite tough. I was thinking of a leader last week and saying, when is it my turn? You know, when am I going to, and so on. And when we say we are humble, that's when we are the most proud. I always think about when you look in Exodus and the most humble man in the world was Moses. It's in brackets because Moses wrote Exodus. So maybe Joshua quickly scribbled it in there. I'm not quite sure who put it in there. But there was a true humility. Being in the very nature of God, Jesus humbles himself like a servant. We should do the same. We must do the same. But because we're one body in Christ, and that body can be big and it can be strong. And that body, in the case of the Springboks, although there was 30-odd people, it was representing a nation of 60 million people. I wonder what it's going to be like in heaven one day. Because of the 9 billion people currently on this world, on this earth, how many actually will serve? Let's take a conservative thing and we say there's 3 billion. What is a crowd of 3 billion? They estimate that over time, 107 billion people have lived on this earth. So if we just even take a third, maybe a half, let's say a half, what does 50 billion people look like? And so when you read scripture in Hebrews, and so we strive forward in front of a crowd of witnesses, 50 billion people watching you, chasing the sun, together with all of the angels. I don't know how many they are. What a crowd of witnesses It must have been a big responsibility for the Springboks, with everybody watching. And in the same way, we have the opportunity to truly chase the sun as a team. Now, although we sacrifice our desires for greatness individually, we must acknowledge that there are gifts and talents that each of you have been given. Okay? We're not asking you to put those aside. You bring those. And when you do, you jolly well need to bring your A game. We've got to make it happen. You can't pitch up there every day, ready to serve the Lord. No, not really. You know, if you're a prop, be a prop. Support and lift. If you're a wing, be a wing. Run with the gospel. If your gift is prophecy, prophesy. It says in Romans 12. If you teach, teach. If you serve, you're there to serve. If you're there to lead, lead. If you encourage, encourage. Do you think for the moment, Faf de Klerk got there and went, sorry, what am I again? I'm a fullback today. Or do you want me to be a prop? You know, so the question I ask is, what's your gift? We're adults sitting here, maybe a couple of young people. You do know your gift. Are you using it? So if we are the A team, if we are God's team, if we're there to chase the sun and follow him onto that field, you can't run on and go, okay, where am I standing today? First whistle. Oh, I mean, we're going to the scrum together. Where do I stand in the line out or whatever? No, no. We are part of that team. We know where we fit. The difference is Jesus demonstrated all of his gifts, but he did it in humility. We need to live like him in the team. We're not putting ourselves forward. Secondly, we must love. Okay. You see, the box devoted all of their time and effort and skill to the team and to the coach. You see, in this passage from verse 9, we begin to see a progression. We must love sincerely. No posturing. I really love you, my brother. How are you doing today? Really? Okay. Are we going to live in love? We must build our love on Jesus' example. He loved the world. He loved his disciples. He spent time. He loved the sinners. He loved the Pharisees even. We must devote ourselves to the other team members, the brotherhood of Christ, building them up. You don't give them a hospital pass and let them look bad. Put others above us. It's sometimes a little bit difficult to do. But then we got to run hard. What is those lovely two words? Zeal and fervor. Probably those are not words you use every day in your language. Maybe those that have been around a little bit. But how do you do that? How do you show your zeal and your fervor for Christ? And we've got to be joyful. Okay. Not the happy clappies. But we're also not those who walk around, oh, woe is me, woe is me. We need to be joyful. We serve the great Son, the great King. And we're in a great team. We've got to be patient under pressure. When you may be on your try line and you're having to defend, maybe you're right on their try line, you're just going to about to get it over there. You've got to go through those phases. You've got to be faithful. It says there, seeking God's will in every matter. And then we've got to share. We've got to be generous. We've heard it this morning. We've got to be hospitable. But you know what? We don't ridicule or mock the opposition. Okay, don't say nasty things about them. We're not proud, even though we think we're the world champions. Even though we know we've won the battle, we are not the ones that are proud. We don't mock. As little Christs, Christians, we must love, we must associate with, care for those less fortunate than us. People that live even in this valley. And then finally we get to the passage where you've got to leave. What do we leave? Your offering as you go out. No, I'm just joking. We leave behind the patterns of this world. Okay? What are those worldly patterns? As I said, there's scrums, there's lineouts, there's different ways of playing the game. We can't get around that. But we know the patterns in our lives that lead us to destruction, that lead us into a way that is less pleasing to our coach and definitely to the sun. And we repent, as we heard this morning, and we turn 180 and we walk away from that. Faf, doen dit nie weer nie, seun, of ek sit jou op die bank. Okay, I'm going to bench you. You can't keep doing that. Now, I'd hate for that to be said of me. You're not part of the team, or you've got to take a little bit of time out. I want to be my part in the team. Well, Jesus is our best example of not acting in the worldly patterns. You see, the passage says, do not repay evil with evil. Don't take offense. Don't respond by retaliating. Jesus said, I tell you, no more eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Okay. He says, turn the other cheek. You got one jacket and they want another one. Give them the other jacket. If you wanted to walk 1 mile, go walk 2 miles. We can do that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, we know what that means. He gave a lot of examples of who your neighbor is and how we love them. Jesus is the best example of breaking the pattern. Let's chase the sun. Follow his example. Don't take revenge. Leave that to God. Sometimes I find myself thinking, if I could just get back like it, maybe I must do this or send this. We must look for ways to bless those that we are possibly in conflict with or disagree with. Sometimes those are people we work with, so sometimes those people live next door, sometimes those people live in your same house. Verse 20 starts with, on the contrary. We need to be like Jesus and live on the contrary. Overcoming evil with good. Overcoming. It's not just doing good for the sake of that, because when you do it, you will overcome. But how do we do this? Well, the Bucks had a great playbook. They had a good coaching team, and very good guidance. And the thing is, they had examples of previous teams who won the World Cup and knew how to win the World Cup. But you know what? We're in a far better position. We've got the best playbook. We've got the best guiding coach, the Holy Spirit, who gives us all power. We have the perfect example in Jesus, and our team has already won. Imagine going on to the World Cup and you already know the result is going to be 13-12 or whatever it is. You already won. So get out there and make it happen. That's the bottom line for us. What is stopping us from chasing the sun and living for him? So I need you to think about these things for a few minutes. Firstly, are you part of Jesus' team? You can't run on there to that final in green and black. You can't be sometimes on the Springbok side and sometimes all black. You're green and gold or you're black. This is simple. So whose team are you on? And it's important for us to decide. And as we heard this morning, are we all in? Or did we forget our togs or our socks? Or I'm a gum guard. So we can't really play so hard today because we haven't really got all of our stuff. And do you know what part or position of the team you play on? There's no deciding today, come on. I want to play fly off, and that's like the great position. Well, I want to go and score on the wing. No, we know our positions and we play it. Can you set aside the patterns of this world and present yourself as a living sacrifice? And then finally, are you be prepared to actually be led by the true coach, the one and only? Yeah, imagine what it must be like if Jesus walked in here now. Well, he's here now, but just imagine if he walked down now and said, huddle around, boys, ladies. We got a game to play. Hey, I would be so pumped up. Just imagine, knowing what we know. The disciples knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And then he was gone. But he's coming back. He's coming back. And when he does, he's pulling that team together. Look, he doesn't really need us. But he'll bring the team here. He needs us now. So if he walked in here, would you be ready? Or would you still have to go and scamper to your locker room and go and find half of your stuff and get your little face on and just kind of pretend that you're ready? Are we 5 minutes away from the starting whistle or not? We need to commit ourselves today to doing this. And I think that's just encouragement tonight. It's not really so much a time of ministry needed now. You already know. And I trust that the people that are sitting here, you know in your heart whose team you're on. You know all of these questions. You know the positions. Maybe there's a little bit of uncertainty. Maybe you could play fly off, you could play wing, and you can play fullback. And that's one of the things, but don't put me in the scrum, please. Okay. And maybe there is a true commitment. But these things in the patterns, you know, we just keep going back and doing those silly little knock-ons. We just need to put it in the hands of the coach, the hands of our captain. We need to stick to the playbook, and we need to acknowledge that God is in control. So when you get ready for tomorrow and you tog up, remember that you are chasing the sun and the battle's already won. The game's already in the bag. What a wonderful opportunity. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just give you all the glory tonight. What an amazing opportunity to be chosen, predestined, selected to be in your team. We know that you knew us when we were nothing, when we were still playing in under sevens and under 11s, and you nurtured us all the way through to playing in your team. We want to be part of your team. We want to serve you. We want to chase the sun. Lord, as we go into tomorrow, as we prepare ourselves for a new game, we know that it's already been won. But we call upon you, Holy Spirit, just to line us up, not to conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds and our hearts to serve and honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one and only Son. And we want to chase you, Jesus, as our example. Bless your holy name in your name. Amen.